Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
We're starting a series called Overwhelmed. How many of you in this room have ever felt at one point or another overwhelmed in life? And so we're talking about overwhelmed, and whether it's finances or our calendar or all that's going on with family, there's times that we feel overwhelmed. So I've got a story on this that's really fresh as far as being overwhelmed. So this week on Thursday, we were flying out early to go to a conference in Minneapolis. I was speaking to about 700 college students, and I was going there, and I got to bring Tamara with me. And so it's early, it's dark, and so we are flying there. Now, I love to fly. Tamara, not so much. She's not a fan of flying. Who in here does not like to fly? So not only does she not like to fly, she's just a little bit claustrophobic. So as we're going to get on the plane, we walk in and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is the smallest jet I've ever been on. It is unbelievably small. In the front section, there's one seat on each side of the aisle and you're bumping your head on the overhead compartment. And I'm thinking, if I just don't say anything, Tamara won't notice how small the plane is. And all of a sudden we walk in and it's jam-packed with people. There's an automotive parts conference going on in the same place we're going to, so it's packed full of big, smelly guys. And she turns around and goes, this is the smallest plane I've ever been on. I was like, oh, shoot, she noticed. And as we're going, the plane is hot and it's jam-packed. There's no room in the overhead bins. And we keep going back and the pilot comes on and goes, ladies and gentlemen, we are having an electrical problem. Not what you want to hear when you don't like to fly and you're feeling claustrophobic and there's all these stinky guys around you. And she goes, and so he goes, we're going to have to shut the plane down for the next 10 minutes and it's going to be dark so that we can get the plane working again. And all of a sudden, pitch black. You can just barely see the lights through the windows. So we find our way through our seats, cell phone light, finding it. We go and we sit down and all of a sudden I hear Tamara go, oh, and all of a sudden she's moving around and boom, her coat is in my lap. And then all of a sudden I feel her rustling around again and boom, her under jacket, her little smaller jacket, that it's in my lap. And all of a sudden the lights come on and she's like, starts pulling off her sweater. And all of a sudden she pulled, I'm like, babe, how far are you going to take this? A little uncomfortable here. Like people are looking at her and all of a sudden she closes her eyes and just starts tapping her hand on her leg. In the moment, she was feeling overwhelmed. How many of you have ever felt overwhelmed? It was just like, whew. That's what we're talking about today, is sometimes with all the things that come our way, we feel overwhelmed. Whether it's with our finances or whether it's with all the factors of life, we feel overwhelmed. And here's what I really believe today is that the series that we're going to work through, the one passage or one verse we're working through today, that if we can apply these to our lives, it can literally transform our future, transform our families, transform our children, that it can be a powerful thing as we move forward in the new year. So here's what we're going to be talking about over the next 3 weeks. Number one, we're going to talk about less is more. Can you say that with me? Can you say less is more? Stress is bad. Can you say stress is bad with me? And tomorrow matters. That's what we're covering over the next 3 weeks, is less is more, stress is bad, tomorrow matters. Less is more, stress is bad, and tomorrow matters. And so I want to talk about today and focus on this, less is more, because if you're like me and like the rest of America, that we have been inundated and programmed to think that if one is good, more is better. That if one is good, more is better. If $1 is good, more is better. If one car is good, two is better. If one ibuprofen is good, then four are better. In fact, I have a family member, a friend, that he feels like that if, you know, one prescribed pill is good, then more, two is better, because it's going to get rid of the headache. That we've been programmed that if one is good, more is better, and that we think that it always is that way. If one outfit is good, two is better. My youngest daughter really believes that if one bowl of ice cream is better, is good, two is better. When I was a youth pastor, we had a guys cook out at her house. And so it was a bring your own beef type of party. And so everybody brought all their meat. And so we were going to watch Monday Night Football, and we had a large church. So there were lots of cooks and lots of hunters. And so everybody brought their own steak and their own meat and their own bison. And they brought it all, and we had it, and they grilled it to perfection, seasoned it to perfection. And we all thought, if one steak is good, two is better, right? And it was. It was awesome. Until it wasn't. And at the end of Monday Night Football, you have 100 teenage guys sitting around going, oh, my stomach. Because one is good, two is not always better. And so the key verse that I want us to work through today, we're basically sticking with one verse. We normally go through a passage, but we're sticking with one verse with the whole less is more theme today. But this verse I want to read to you. Says, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. One more time. It says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with with toil and a chasing after the wind. Will you guys read that with me? I want you to read it out loud so that we can verbalize it together. Here we go. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. Come on, let's read it out loud together. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. Better is one handful. So the topics again is less is more, stress is bad, and tomorrow matters. So when is one handful better, and why is one handful better? Why is it better is that if we have one handful and someone needs help, we can reach out to help them. If we have one handful full and someone is falling down, we can reach out and we can offer comfort and help them out. That if we have one handful and we want to take a nap, I can take a nap, because as our verse says, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. So what we need to understand is when less is more. When we're talking about less of what really doesn't matter. Why? Because we can have more of what really does matter. And if you look at your notes for just a minute, I want us to try to define for yourself what does matter in our lives. So write down the top three things that matter in your lives. Begin to look and write these down. What really matters? And when you ask someone this, you're going to find that oftentimes it's hard to narrow it down to the top three. You start thinking, okay, here's five, or here's seven, or here's 14 things that really matter in my life. And so I want to bring it a little closer to home. There's a story of a young lady that she was going to do this exercise and she couldn't really figure it out. And the next week, after she had heard this exercise of the top three things that matter in life, she found out she was diagnosed with cancer and had 6 months to live. Immediately, everything of priority became crystal clear to her. And so I want to do the exercise with you and I today is, if you had 3 months, 6 months to live, what would be the top three things that you were to list as priorities in life? In fact, if I were to put it on Facebook, what are the top three things that you would do if you just had a few months to live? What do you think that those things would be? Maybe they would list a relationship with God and making sure that that was right. Maybe they would talk about spending time with their spouse and loving their husband or wife, and their marriage would be of value. Maybe they would put their relationship with their kids, or they would put friends and those close friendships that they've carried throughout their lifetime. Or maybe they would put their health, Or maybe, just maybe, some of the broken relationships in life that they would want to make those broken relationships right before their time was gone. Or maybe they just would want to sit quietly and enjoy the sunset for once. Probably what wouldn't be on there is that new car that they've been eyeing for the last 6 months. What wouldn't be on there would be the marble countertops, would be the new leather couch. What wouldn't be on there would probably be the money in the bank that you currently have, because you're not going to be able to live to enjoy it. And for sure, it wouldn't matter what was on Facebook and how many Instagram followers that you had. And so if you had to make a priority, what would it be? What define what matters? And when we are able to define what matters in our life, that we begin to realize we spend so much of our life in pursuit of the things that don't really matter. That so much of our energy and time is spent in pursuit of the things that would never even make the list. And so we tend to think, and we're programmed to think, is that what I don't have is what I need. When really, I want us to understand today that less is more. Less is more. Our key verse for today is this: better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. And what I want to do right now is to give us three thoughts on the whole concept of less is more. Just three powerful thoughts, three simplistic thoughts that if we can internalize and live out, I really believe it can move us forward, propel us forward in our relationship with God. So if you're taking notes today, number one is the less is more living. Number one is cut back. Number one is just we cut back on the consumption in life. Let me give you an illustration of this, that when Tamara and I bought our house here in Dallas, it's a neat house. It's an old house built in 1929, and a few years before we bought it, someone went in and remodeled it. They added a second floor to it, and it has, you know, enough bedrooms for our family, for me and Tamara, and then the three girls. It's got 2.5 baths, and it is a little creaky and a little old, but we love it, and it's a neat house for us. But one thing that's interesting is it has very little closet space. In fact, you look at it, and in some of the closets that we do have were added post-remodel, and they weren't there before. But why is there so little closet space for a house built in 1929? If you go back and you look, that probably, I know they used armoires and they used dressers, but there was just a less accumulation of clothes back then. That if you were a guy, you had a man, you had a suit or two, maybe, that you wore on Sunday, or if you had a job where you had to wear a suit, maybe you had two pairs of shoes. One of them was probably a dress shoes, and you shined them every day. My father-in-law was older when he got married and older when he had kids. He had this one pair of shoes that every Saturday night, he polished them up and got them ready for Sunday morning. And so maybe he had a couple of pair of casual pants, and he had a few t-shirts and some casual shoes, and that was about it. And then the ladies, you maybe had a couple of dresses, some casual clothes, that there was just much less stuff. One little closet. You fast forward to today, and there are closets everywhere. And not only that, some people have walk-in closets, other have walk-around closets, like 8 laps and it's 1.5 miles. You get your exercise in for the day. And then these are the closets that are like so nice. Like the opposite of the old home is that you've got one layer of clothes that hang up high, a little shelf in the middle, and then a layer of clothes along the bottom. You've got two layers. It's like you have all this space. And then I saw this on TV this week. That you're watching this show, and they were talking about this new design, and it had a button you could push, and a third row of clothes came out of the attic. They had the row of, you know, the rack up there, and it was built into the attic. It was framed in, but when you push the button, it dropped down. But did you know that some people have so much stuff and they have all of their multiple closets full that they go and box up the clothes and they put them in the garage, and then we have so much stuff in the garage that we don't have room to park our automobiles because all of this stuff in the garage, and then we have so much stuff in our multiple closets and then in our garage that we begin to box it up and put it in the attic, and then And then we have so much stuff that this is where some of the world has trouble even comprehending, that we don't have room in the attic or in our garage or in our multiple closets, that we take it to somebody else and we pay them to store our stuff that we never see, we forget about, on another location. There's so much stuff. And then it's crazy that we walk into our closets and we touch our clothes and we go, oh, I have nothing to wear. We're storing it in our attic and I have nothing to wear. And that sometimes it is so good for us to realize the idea and the concept of less is more. Better a handful of tranquility than a bunch of stuff and a bunch of toil and a bunch of strife that comes with taking care of it. Jesus taught us this important principle in Scripture. It's something that's incredibly important for us to understand, that he was telling a story, telling a parable, and in this, in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he says, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. And I think we know that here, right here. But I think we struggle with it here and here in our pocketbook. I think we really understand it or know it in our heads, but our heart, it's hard to live out, that our life does not consist of the abundance of stuff. Look, guys, the most meaningful things at the end of your life will never be the accumulation of stuff. Instead, it will be our relationships. And yet, what do? We work hard to accumulate and gather and accumulate and gather. And that's why we need to encourage the cutting back of our consumption to understand the principle, less is more. You know what I really want in my life? What I want in my life is less stuff and more friends. I want less stuff and a better relationship with family. I want less stuff and more experiences, family vacation, time with friends, and that if really in our hearts we began to think differently and that it's the accumulation that possibly we should consider Scripture and understanding that our life is not found in the abundance of possessions. And in order to get back to this, I want to encourage us to cut back consumption because deep down, we actually know that sometimes less is actually far more in the things that matter. The first thought is we're going to cut back. The second thought is this, if you're taking notes, is that we're going to clear out. Not only are we going to cut back, we're going to clear out. That I heard someone tell, it was a mentor tell a young minister, he said that you need to clear out your life as if your life depends on it, because it does. The young minister thought, man, that's a bit drastic. It was a bit dramatic. And the pastor, the older mentor, went on to say this. He said, to be the husband that you want to be the dad of the children that God's called you to be the man of God and pastor that honors God, you need to clear out as if your life depends on it. He goes on to say, because it declutters your heart, it declutters your mind, and it frees you to be everything that you're supposed to be in God. And as we've been preparing for this series, and as my daughters have been home, there's some realizations that I had. Now, I love being with my family. I love being with my daughters. In fact, I got to go and spend this week in Minneapolis, and I was hanging out with my daughter, Madison, there, and it was cold. It was so cold, negative 11 when we woke up that morning, and there was a fun run of raising funds for refugees in Burma, and we did that. Anson, you would have been proud of me. You know I'm not a runner, and I ran a mile in the cold, and just in a mile, that it was so cold, the moisture coming out, that my beard was sticking out with ice after a mile. But I love being with my family. I got to be with all the girls home from college, and I love that. I find so much joy in that. It's such an enjoyable process for me. But I love being around them. I love listening to them talk. And when they get together, I love being in the room just absorbing all that's going on, the conversation, the silliness, the laughing, the giggles, just I love that so much. And I feel like it connects me to them. I feel connected to them as I just listen to them and we sit in the same room. But 2.5-3 weeks ago, as we're all sitting together and we're all talking and we're all hanging out, I had this realization in my heart. I mean, it was pretty dramatic. I had this realization that I love listening to them. I love being in the room and I love hearing them talk, but my mind is racing on so much stuff that I'm not talking. I'm listening, but I'm not talking. And so I feel connected to them, but they don't necessarily feel as connected to me because I'm not engaging in conversation because my mind is racing on other things. So in this setting and in this context, the less distractions that I have in my life, the more engagement I get with my family. Does that make sense? Is that if we would cut back and we would clear out, the realization is if I declutter some of the things in my life, I can engage with my children even more, and that is a value for my life. That is a core value for me. And so here's what I'm finding. That as I go through this process of declutter, as I cut back, as I clear out, here's what's happening, is that there's room in my soul that there wasn't before. As I walk into my office, you'll notice that I haven't always done this, but I've kept my desk clean because as I walk in on Monday mornings, it's much easier to feel like, okay, I feel calm, things are organized, and I feel like I can connect with God and I can get stuff done that needs to be done for the kingdom of God. As I walk into my house and that it's picked up and it's clean, I feel like that I'm not burdened down with clutter, that I can connect with my family. Now, there is this one chair in our bedroom in the corner that Tamara keeps her stuff, but that chair is like a magnet for Michael's clothes. It just sucks it right to that one chair in the corner of the room. But as I declutter, that I'm able to feel like I can connect with God and connect with my family. And so I encourage us to consider not just cutting back, but to clear out, and not just our stuff, but our calendar. You see, living in the middle of the city, there is so much to do. We can just drive right down the road from our house and go to a half dozen music venues and have dinner and listen to music. And we can do all kinds of stuff living in the middle of the city. It's free. Our stuff that costs, our stuff that's free-ish, that we can go and fill up our calendar with all kinds of stuff. And it becomes so cluttered that often we miss out on God's will for our lives. We miss out on real Christian community. We miss out on worship. All of that takes a backseat because we don't have time, energy, or margin to do anything else with our heart. Hebrews 12:1 says this, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everything. Stuff or time or calendar, let us throw off and clear out the stuff, to clear out the calendar, anything that would hinder us from being all that God intends for us to be. Less really does result in more. Now, I want to give for just a moment an acknowledgement that there is oftentimes a reason why we don't declutter. A reason we don't like throw stuff out or give stuff away is because for some that we grew up with not a lot of stuff, and so we want to kind of conserve. I may need that at some point, and I'm going to keep this, and I'm going to, you know, store this, and I totally get that. At others, there's another side of it that we're sentimental, that we've held on to stuff forever because of some sentimental value. At the same time, I want to encourage us that our life doesn't consist of the abundance of stuff. Better is one handful with tranquility than two with toil and a chasing after the wind. And one of the reasons that, I believe one of the reasons that we have so many clothes and we say that there's nothing to wear is because we're overwhelmed by the choices. Have you ever been to Cheesecake Factory? You read the menu and it's like a novel. In fact, I encourage you to go home and look up their menu online. Google their menu. I mean, they have a picture of Shrek on there with a little article beside it. And then you've got, did you know they make 250 different menu items fresh from scratch every day? Man, I like going to Snuffers because you know there's one thing they do, a burger, greasy burger and greasier fries. But sometimes we have so many choices and you look at the menu at the Cheesecake Factory and you're saying, what do I order? You look at Netflix and sometimes like there's nothing to watch on Netflix. There's 3,000 videos on Netflix. If there was one, we would watch it. But if there's 3,000, we're like, man, I don't even know what to watch. And so sometimes there are so many options in our life that we don't even know what to do. And so cut back in your calendar, cut back your closet. And let me give you this challenge. If you haven't worn something in a year, give it away. Give it away. Declutter. Thank the Lord that you had it. Thank the Lord that you used it at one point, and then give it away. Bless someone with it. And I want to challenge you. If you're a parent, do this with your children. Bring them in the room and say, hey, I haven't worn this. Take that thing. You guys go down to the local Goodwill, give it away, or give it to someone. What an incredible way to teach your children to live with the principle, less is more, and to be generous with their stuff. Have you guys seen that commercial? It's for these organizing tools, and it's saying, my stuff, I love my stuff, I love my stuff. Have you seen that commercial? It's with these three kids and the parents, and like every time the commercial comes on, I cringe because it's like, we're going to throw your stuff away. We're going to give it. They're like, no, I love my stuff. And the little kids are dancing around singing, my stuff, I love my stuff. And I'm thinking that is the model of materialism. That they have more stuff in the floor than they could ever play with. And they're saying, I love my stuff. I love my stuff. When our heart should be saying, I love Jesus. And this is just something to facilitate life. Does that make sense today? So for us, that not only do we cut back, but we clear out. We're grateful for it and then just give it away. Bless someone else with it. Number three, if you're taking notes today, pay off. Less is more. Stress is bad. How many of you in this room would agree that financial stress is no fun? Financial stress is no fun. In fact, did you know the number one source of arguments in marriage is financial stress? I mean, that's the number one thing. I've never heard in 25 years of pastoring, I've never heard a single person say, man, my debt makes me feel so at peace. You know, I look at my high interest rates on my credit card and I just thank God for that. I feel so close to God every time I'm paying interest. My debt brings me so much joy. We've never, ever heard that. You know what we say when we talk about debt? Man, it stresses me out. Man, I'm worried about it and I lose sleep over it. Man, me and my wife, we're fighting over money. That's what we hear. Man, I'd give anything to go back and change things. This week I met a guy, stepped out of pastoring and at 30 moved back home with his parents because of the amazing amount of debt that he accrued. And this is a bright, sharp young guy that has gone and changed careers in order to get his school debt down and retired. That we never say, man, I am so grateful. But you know what's being, you know what is fun? Being debt free. You know, it is fun having margin in our lives. And some of you would say, I can never get there. I can never be debt free. But how about we take just a few steps to get there? We pay off a credit card and then a second credit card. And then we pay off the car. And then we start creating margin in our lives to where that is not the driving force of our lives. That we kind of get Dave Ramsey. We get crazy with that and we start paying off some debt. That's fun. The verse for today, again, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. I'd say it this way. Better is one car that's paid off than a car with a really big payment that stresses me out. Better is a smaller house than I can afford than fighting over the payments of a bigger house with my spouse. Better is to have financial margin so that I can help others in their time of need. Better is one handful of tranquility. So what are we going to do? We're going to cut back. We're going to clear out. We're going to pay off because in the truest sense, less is more. Less is more. Guys, I really want to lay this out. Cut back. Pay off. clear out because less truly is more. And now I'm not saying that we don't have nice things. The truth is we can have nice things, but I would argue with you that it's better to have some stuff that's nice than to have a bunch of stuff that owns you. It's better to have a few things you love and use and enjoy instead of a bunch of stuff that clutters up our lives. And I'm going to argue with you today that the richest people in life are the ones who have the smallest amount of needs. They need it the least. Have you ever seen children in a third world country stressing because their iPad won't hold a charge? And yet you see them playing and enjoying the day and enjoying life. And then you go to a developing country and you sit in the church and you think, man, there's no technology and there's no AC and there's none of this. And you're thinking, oh man, there's poverty in the streets. Oh, so what poor people, until you realize you're sitting in a service and they're worshiping God with this reckless abandon, with this vibrant relationship with the Lord, that they love Jesus so much because, and they're not dependent upon technology for life, that they love God and are content. The richest people in life are the ones who need it the least. Because it doesn't have them, they have it, and they have the Lord. They're rich because they don't need things to be content. And here's what I want us to understand. Our life is short. It's a vapor. This morning as I drank my coffee and the vapor came out, it was just a short vapor and it went for just a moment. That's our life. You blink and your kids are grown. You blink again and you're like, where did life go? You blink again and you're like, man, this year flew by. I don't even really remember it. And I want us to capture this. If we don't get anything else today, capture this. That please understand that your life is too valuable, your calling is too great, your God is too good to waste your life on meaningless things, both your possessions and your calendar. That we were put on this life to love God and to influence other people. And that when we recognize our calling is too great and our God is too good and life is too short, when we realize that, then we refuse to waste our life on things that don't even make the list of priorities. Less is more, stress is bad, and tomorrow matters. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. Maybe I can say it this way. Better is one handful and an intimate relationship with my children than two handfuls and I miss that they grow up and I didn't recognize the progress they were making. Better one handful with some really good friendships than the pursuit of things and no real spiritual community in the context of the local church. Better is one handful and some experiences and family vacation than two handfuls and no time for one another. Better is one handful and a strong marriage and a connected marriage and an intimate marriage than two handfuls and all this stuff, but no intimacy in your marriage. Better is one handful and the ability to glorify God and praise God and honor God than two handfuls and your heart is hard because you're so busy pursuing another handful. Less is more. Less is more. Stress is bad. Tomorrow matters in our life. And so as we close out, I really want us to capture this thought here today. Less is more, less is more, less is more, less is more, less is more. Cut back, clear out, pay off. 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 Our life is too short. Our calling is too great. Our purpose is too large. Our God is too good to waste our life on things that would never make a priority list if we had a few days left. Father, today, speak to our hearts that less is more in so many ways. That if one is good, two doesn't make it better. That in their heart, a sense of contentment, a sense, Lord, of decluttering, that we are not found in a busyness. Our life is not found in busyness. Our life is not found in the abundance of possessions. That our life is found in you. That our joy is found in you. And though there's nothing wrong with possessions, Lord, it's when they become the priority, or when they begin to own us, or they begin to clutter our heart and our mind and our affections, that in that moment, Lord, we need to take a purposeful step to step back. Lord, help us to know less is more. Lord, one handful, and yet an intimate relationship with our spouse. One handful and a relationship that honors you and that we worship and praise. One handful, and yet we're there for our children and able to see them grow up and lead them as they grow. One handful, Lord, and then being able to help others in their time of need. One handful and being able to take a Sabbath and a day of rest. One handful, God, and yet contentment in our heart and margin in our lives, both time and financially, there's margin because we're content with one handful, God. Let this be more than just something we know in our head, but we internalize in our heart and we live out in our lives. Would you stand with me today? In just a minute, we're going to worship the Lord for just a moment, but I want us to pray, heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you begin to say, Lord, help me to understand less is more. Lord, help me to know where to cut back and to lower consumption. Lord, help me to know where to clear out both schedule and stuff. And Lord, help me also, Lord, to pay off, to not live in debt, but to live in the black, not to live in the red, but to live with margin so I can honor you with my finances. Thank you for today, God.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God, and we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc. Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God, and we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.